Wait, we're recording this?
I have been recording, but we could start
again. Well, now I am recording.
Okay.
You guys don't mind if I publish an update to my test flight while we're starting the show, do you?
I would expect nothing less.
Are you going to read out the test flight link?
At some point, James, you or somebody's going to have to teach me how I can not have to answer a question about what encryption I use every time I have a new version.
I can tell you how to do that. You just need to put a key in your plist.
I figured.
Go into your system settings and go into audio.
You won't have to answer questions about encryption, but you will hear me twice.
That's fine. Worth it. Well, we're joined by
that
a wild
is the reference
Jameson.
To the struggles that I was having prior to the show starting. If you are listening to this not live,
so technology, huh?
Hey, yeah, who likes iPads? Huh?
I do.
Do you? I don't know.
I mean, I don't really use mine very much, but
well, that's
it's quite
interesting.
Nice.
That's a thing we could talk about.
My iPad.
So you're not interested in new ones, then? I would say.
Well, probably not. I mean, what I use my iPad for is two things. I use it as my FaceTime device when I'm talking to people, and I use it as a mini laptop when I'm going away and I don't want to take a full laptop. And that's it.
I didn't even see this announcement that Moltz is referring to. I guess right before we started recording, Apple announced an event.
It was like a couple hours ago.
I at least scanned the headlines before coming onto the call.
Wow.
He did more preparation than either of us, as usual.
I was coding.
So May 7th. Block your calendar off if you care at all about iPads.
For the
so
Let
not James,
event.
How block do, your calendar
and
off.
We know that
actually,
iPads.
Tim Cook said, pencil us in for May 7th.
Yeah.
Get it?
And there's an Apple Pencil in the artwork, so it's not like they're being particularly cryptic.
Coy about it. No, not very much.
So probably OLED iPads and new iPad Airs. New keyboard.
I have the same problem with my Mac, or with my iPad that I have with my MacBook Air, which is that it's fine, and I don't need a new one. Mm. So I think it's annoying and a bit rude of Apple to continue to announce new products when the ones that I currently have work well enough that I can't think of replacing them. Cannot justify that.
Yeah, I also don't
think they should stop, is what I'm saying, until I'm ready.
I don't imagine these things are going to be particularly cheap if they have OLED screens.
No, I wouldn't imagine either.
So, you know, I just spent whatever it was, $4,000 on the Vision Pro. I don't need anything else.
I'm very curious about that.
I mean, that's basically an iPad for your face. So,
well, is it weird? Is there a reason that we can identify that Apple is doing this event at 7 in the morning Pacific time?
I don't know. You're the East Coast types.
Listen, I have no problem with a 10 a.m. event. That's quite
convenient
for me. You're
the East Coast bureau chief.
But why are they doing that? That's very unlike them, no?
They did an event at a weird time fairly recently.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was, but I think it's just like somebody in marketing has deemed that the best time to capture the world's imagination is at that point.
Yeah. And I guess because it's not live, I don't know, that is odd.
Yeah, there's just some intern that who's up at 7 a.m. who just pushes a button.
Tim Cook gets up at 4. Come on.
I don't believe Tim Cook sleeps. I mean, he has all the vibes of has actually been alive for 200 years.
He gets up an hour before he goes to bed.
Yes. And I'm not saying he's a vampire, but I'm not saying that. I should care. I don't know.
You don't have to care. You don't have to care. If you're not interested in these products, it doesn't matter.
I love my iPad. I don't use it for a ton unless I'm traveling, but I use it almost every day. I certainly use it. It's a great video player. And if I don't want to have my laptop when I'm not at my desk. Now, more recently, I've been at my desk all the time because I'm trying to get this app out the door. But when I'm not working, I want to not be on a Mac, and an iPad is a great substitute of like, hey, I'm more chill now. Like this is a less crazy thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I certainly use mine more the most for watching shows and movies. But I also do use it occasionally for writing stuff. And then the other primary thing I use it for is for drawing.
I mean, I think genuinely,
so you like the pencils.
I do like the pencils. I mean, I love my pencil. But again, I don't know. Maybe I'll see what it is, and maybe I'll go, boy, do I need that.
But it sounded like James was going to say something smart. James, you have the floor.
No, I was just thinking about the Vision Pro, and like most of the things that I would use the iPad for, I think is kind of Vision Pro territory. You know, like watching something or whatever. Even the weird FaceTime thing is kind of cool. Like I did the spatial call thing. And it does feel like you're sitting in a room in a circle with a bunch of other people, and you can like poke them in the eyes with your fingers and stuff.
Jason Snell really seemed to love that. He really thought that was a very like much more meaningful or
it was. I mean, I was in said call with
Mike, I know, Curley, that's why I mentioned
Stephen, and it was kind of nice just to sort of hang out. And There was enough, you know, people didn't look entirely like themselves, but there was enough going on that your brain just forgot after a while. And yeah, that's what, you know, Jason looks like. John Voorhees was there
as
well.
It's going to be a surprise when you see him again, though.
How much, let's say outside of development, how much are you using your Vision Pro?
Not a huge amount. I mean, really,
more than an iPad,
yeah. I mean, I've just been like messing around with the VR immersive stuff in my code. So I've had the thing on my face for like 4 hours during the day, and I don't really want to wear it anymore after that. It's I did my persona was one of the old ones, like version 1.0, and I needed to update it because I wanted to look like the cool kids for these calls. And so I did another persona scan, and it perfectly captured the red welt across my forehead from wearing the Vision Pro. So I had so I had to wait until the next morning before I'd worn the thing at all, and then do the capture then, so that I looked fresh and not like I'd had a thing stuck to my face.
It's been interesting to see, to me, the number of Vision Pro owners who have said, you know, hey, I'm not using it all that much. I don't know many who say I'm getting a ton of use from it. That doesn't to me mean that it's not a fascinating or impressive device, but it does imply like there's not a ton of reasons to use it a lot of time. Like do you use it for display usage, like not for watching stuff, but like to use it instead of a monitor?
So I do that because when I'm doing development, it's a hassle to keep taking the thing off and on. Sure. When you're trying to do stuff, so I use the Mac screen in the thing, but I don't know if it's my eyesight, but it doesn't feel as sharp to me as the real monitor. It's not quite as good as looking at a real screen, but it's good enough for most of the stuff that I do. I do that. The thing with like what it's best at is things like, you know, watching movies and stuff like that, but you're one person and you're sitting there like blocked off from everybody else in the room, which unless everybody's bought a Vision Pro, which that is not going to happen, because you can both sit there next to each other and also virtually and watch something in a shared space. But
yeah,
I think it's ideal for people who live alone.
Yeah,
I get that impression.
I think I'm ideal for people who live alone.
well, there's, there's a There's another story about Apple cutting Vision Pro shipments as demand falls sharply beyond expectations.
I mean,
whose expectations?
I mean, because and I thought the expectations, I thought we had heard like 350,000. And so they are saying that for 2024, expectations dropped from 700 to 800K to 400 to 450, but I didn't think that's the number that we had heard previously. So
I mean, they're also the rumors were that they were going to try and get them out in other territories before WWDC. So, you know, there's going to be, presumably, there's going to be interest from around the world on these things. I mean, there isn't a huge amount of software for them yet. And I think that's because developers really could
or just experiences, right? I mean, we've talked about this previously, but you know, they haven't really been pumping out those.
I mean, I think it's partially because you couldn't really do proper development unless you actually had a device. So most people's development will have started, you know, in February, and that's only a few months ago. There's also it's some stuff it's quite hard to do. Like I've been experimenting with the pCalc About screen in VR, which is a completely pointless exercise that I will make no money from, but it is a good way to actually learn all the various APIs and how things work.
A completely useless exercise that I'll make no money from describes about one third of my life right now.
I mean,
that's why Lex doesn't leave his desk.
I mean, as far as I know, all you do is make puzzles these days.
That's what I'm talking about, James. I should probably do some consulting at some point.
Puzzle consulting?
No.
Maybe you can get a job making the actual New York Times puzzles.
I don't know. No, thank you.
Yeah, career shift. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been doing this for like a year now, right?
So. Year and a half, yeah. I'm basically ready to retire.
Yeah, sure.
Is that ready to retire in the sense of you've lost all hope or you have enough money to do so?
Yes. The other exciting news that I think is tech adjacent that I saw just as we were starting to record is the FTC has said you can't do non-competes like today. They said that any employer that has non-competes has to tell all their employees bound by those non-competes, hey, by the way, that non-compete is void. And I mean, that came roughly 1 year and 4 months and 23 days late for me, but still, I'm into it.
So who do you want to go work for?
No, I'm never really interesting. I'm never going to go work for anybody ever again. If I get another job, I blew it in some way or another. But there were clients I couldn't consult for a while. I had potential clients that I had to turn down. And now I don't have to turn down those clients because.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that news was the exciting thing I saw.
Well, I mean, it seems to make sense. But.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's very good. But I mean, I guess, I don't know. I guess I'm used to things being bad.
Yeah, I know. So. This was almost exactly the reaction I went through. It was like, is this real? How will this get fucked up?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot of potential for everything to go really bad. So, I mean, take the non-compete while, you know.
So what does this mean for Scott Forstall, right? I mean,
he's about to be Scott Fivestall.
He doesn't have to keep pumping out Broadway shows.
Or he can make Broadway shows for other
people. Big things from you, Scott. I know he's a listener.
I would have thought that all his non-competes expired decades ago. Too,
but well, not that long. I wouldn't think that long. He probably had he probably got a pretty good deal to get pushed out the door. And
look, I
don't know how long that would
my last. My longest non-compete, and I've had three, you know, enforceable ones in my life, was 5 years from the date of acquisition. And that was a fucking nightmare.
Wow.
And I kept going to lawyers. There's a joke, and this is probably true in other religions. I'm Jewish. There's a joke in Judaism that, like, if you ask three rabbis, you'll get five opinions. But, like, I kept asking different lawyers, this can't be enforceable, right? 5 years is ridiculous. Like, that's egregious. And each time they're like, nope, it's totally enforceable because it was part of an acquisition. So apparently acquisition non-competes were the most enforceable because you benefited in some way, or because they paid for the company. If you were a beneficiary in that acquisition, then they're like, oh, they paid for the right to give you this non-compete. But 5 years is the longest I had ever heard of. So I can't imagine forestalls was worse than that. Because I'm so much better than Forrestal.
No, probably not. But when did he leave? I mean, he left around 2012 or something like that.
I have,
because it was on Tim Cook's watch for sure. So it would have to have been.
Yeah, I have absolutely no concept of time anymore. So
okay.
when did all the interesting things go out of the user interface? So it was around then.
You guys, I have good news though for Molson my worldview. The new rule is slated to go into effect in 120 days after it's published in the Federal Register, but its future is uncertain as pro-business groups opposing the rule are expected to take legal action to block its implementation. I bet it'll work out, but it could take longer than desired.
Yeah, I have never had...
He left in 2013. It was announced in 2012.
I've never had a non-compete in my life, which means that I'm basically... Nobody deemed me useful enough. They needed to do it.
Oh, yeah.
I think you worked in better, saner countries, James. I think that helps.
I mean, yes, I did.
Yeah, but... I was just not important.
I wasn't important. I just made people think I was important. It was a huge mistake in retrospect.
Isn't that just the definition of consultant?
I mean, had I simply lived in California when I sold some of these companies, it would have been no problem, but I didn't. You know what's a good decision I made, though?
Does it involve suits?
Tell us.
No, it involves ZocDoc. And I literally had a doctor's appointment booked via ZocDoc today. And that is 100% true. And this doctor thinks he knows why I constantly have rashes in my armpits. So there we go. This episode of the Rebound is brought to you by ZocDoc. You shouldn't have to feel awkward.
Does the ad read say share something personal about your condition?
Yes. You shouldn't have to feel awkward talking to your doctor or to your listeners about your armpits. The good news is,
or to podcast listeners,
ZocDoc is the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're talking about tens of thousands of doctors here, all with verified patient reviews, so you can make sure they're the right fit before you meet them in real life. With ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And these docs all have verified reviews from actual real patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated patient-reviewed credible doctors and specialists who you can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, they're located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. I am living proof. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. Please explain why you're one of the million of ZocDoc users, because I didn't want to talk about my armpits on the phone. I wanted to talk about them via text and on a podcast. But no, seriously, I've said this before. I used my own insurance company's website to try to find good dermatologists near me, and they said that this one, which had been recommended by a friend, was not covered by my insurance on my own insurance company's website. But ZocDoc said it was. Then I called the doctors. I was like, yeah, we take it. And they did take it. I was in and out of this appointment today in like 8 minutes, got a prescription, and I'm very excited. So I'm supposed to say who should use ZocDoc? Everybody. Go to ZocDoc.com/rebound and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/rebound. ZocDoc.com/rebound. Our thanks to ZocDoc for sponsoring this show and, you know, for keeping me healthy.
I think you get those rashes if you try and break a non-compete.
I like doing things that are rash. Do you guys want to do some listener questions, or you have other stuff, Molson?
Well, I think first, I mean, I would be remiss, because everybody else in the world has asked James about this, and so I think I would be remiss if we did not ask him on the show. I think it's actually a question anyway.
Oh, right.
But maybe. Oh, I guess we could wait. We could wait for the question. That's true.
Let's do it now.
Do we want to?
Zia Knox asks, what should James do now that Apple will reportedly be making an iPad calculator app? Zia Knox also asks, should James be worried about math notes in iOS 18?
I mean, James has a lot of stuff going on at the moment, so it's not the highest of my concerns. But I mean, I've had what, like 2008, so 16 years of like pCalc on iOS and iPadOS and whatever else OS. You know, worst case, if they completely Sherlock everything that I've ever done, I've made enough money I can retire. But I hope that they are just going to do some surface level thing that will make lots of people angry, especially if they push it onto the Mac, which it sounds like they're probably going to do something where they deploy the same code everywhere. Because I imagine that's the whole point of this exercise, is that they can put it on VisionOS and they can put it on whatever. So yes, if they make something that is does less than the current Mac version, that would be great for me. But, you know, I like the thing, I enjoy, and I use the word enjoy wrongly, the fact that everybody is like saying, oh wow, James's business is entirely crushed. And I'm like, well, A, did you think that I haven't seen this? And B, thanks?
Like, but, I always think, I genuinely believe, and maybe it's because I'm hopelessly optimistic, but like, rising tides are good even when Apple is helping them. And like, Apple makes a podcast app, and we know people who make a living selling other podcast apps. Like,
it's, yeah, and I mean, okay. Like, there's been a calculator on the Mac and the iPhone for, you know, since they came out. And that's the main place where I've actually sold pCalc. Right. I mean, everybody goes, oh no, it's coming to the iPad. You must be so sad. But it's like the actual number of sales on an iPad are relatively small and use.
There was a reason they didn't release an app.
Well, I mean, it is useful. I think it's useful if you can run it split screen and have, you know, something next to it. And that sounds like, maybe that's what this notes thing is related to. It's also unclear if it's going to be, you know, like a traditional calculator or if it's going to be a more sort of expression formula based thing. So, you know, there could be a whole world of people who have a really bad day in June. But I'm glad that every single article that I've read on the subject has mentioned pCalc in it at least once. And I feel that is my legacy.
So there's been a calculator on iOS from day one, and I have bought two calculator apps. So it's not like there's not room to maneuver in that market.
Exactly.
I only bought one calculator app, James.
Yeah, I was just glossing over that, you know, because we don't need to know. We don't need
yours
to know.
Yours is one of them. Yeah. Yours is one of them.
Yeah. You're one right of my two wives. I mean, like, am I, like, overjoyed at this news? No. Do I think it's going to be the end of the world? Yeah, probably not. I mean, we'll see what it is. If I discover that people I know have been working on this, because I know people in the notes team, will I be upset with them? Yeah, probably not. but
I don't know. I think it's okay if you hold a grudge.
I managed to ship a copy of pCalc with every G4 angle poise iMac out there and made quite a tidy sum. I've been selling pCalc for a long time. If this just forces me to go and do something else, then, you know, maybe that's better for me.
Are we all switching careers? Should I be thinking of something else?
I mean, like, well, I don't think puzzles is my strong suit, because every time I try one of your puzzles, Lex, I get about halfway through it and then I just quit it because
I'm not the target market so either.
As ZM Knox took the thought right out of my head, but as listener ZM Knox said on Discord, James.games, I mean, that's a good name. I'm just saying.
I do have only James.fans, which is which links to my Mastodon profile, but I enjoy that as a link.
Well, we've tackled a couple listener questions already. Those are, of course, coming from Rebound Prime members. Rebound Prime members get the following. They get to listen live as we record, and they're doing that on Discord, and they get to join that too. And they get to get bootleg recordings and get a bonus episode every single week, which I think is the best perk. And they get to ask questions that we answer right here. Listener Jason had a couple of questions, a trio of questions. The first was, I'm sitting in the waiting room of the surgery center, and I'm about to have my first colonoscopy. I just had the idea to write a message on my butt for the doctor. What would you guys recommend the message be? This side up is what I would go.
Other end up. Ah! Other end up.
We had the opposite jokes.
If you can read this, you're too close. I don't know.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Hang on. Hang on. Only James.fans.
I don't think that there are a number of places where I think humor is not to be deployed. One is like the immigration line at an airport, and I think the other is probably a colonoscopy.
Oh, I
don't know. I do it all the time. Every time I go in there, I'm like, I have to, because I'm a little nervous, right? I mean, I'm, you know, it's being put under. It's a little nerve-wracking, and so I always make jokes when I feel nervous. So
I could not remember. I knew I had gone under recently. I couldn't remember what I had gone under for, and it's one of the only surgeries you can do that's even more embarrassing than colonoscopy. But I definitely was making jokes in the room, and I always will tell the anesthesiologist, "I will fight you. I'm going to try really hard not to fall asleep." And they're like, "You lose." And then that's the last thing I remember. Like the last three or four procedures.
Are you just angling for them to turn the dial up?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right. We're really going to put this guy down.
In a vet sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Listeners, EM Knox wanted to know what we were doing at 2 p.m. Eastern time instead of this.
I wanted to have my dinner was the answer to that question. And I said, can we move it an hour later?
And we're accommodating now that Lex doesn't work for Amazon.
I said, yeah. I mean, what have I got to do? Nothing.
Listener Jason, he of the colonoscopy. Oh, I skipped one. Wanted to know what's the best way to celebrate a clean colonoscopy and what's your go-to meal you just competed. I think he meant completed, but it says competed any kind of fast for the previous day. So how do you celebrate a clean colonoscopy and what's your go-to meal post-fasting?
Mine is a turkey burger that they make at a local place that I like a lot, and it's delicious, and I get extra pickles.
My answer to both questions.
Because I haven't barely eaten in the last, 48 hours.
Fast food is a great way to celebrate and to eat post-colonoscopy, because you basically give yourself a second colonoscopy if you get the greasiest food. Yeah. Probably a chocolate milkshake.
Pick something that is generally bad for your colon, I guess, but I don't fast enough that I have like a regular go-to thing, and I think I've had like two colonoscopies in my life, and there's not enough of a correlation of post colonoscopy meal that I can think of.
that's my go-to. I think I've done it three colonoscopies in a row now.
Basically, what I'm hearing is, as I get older, I will get a favorite.
I get two more colonoscopies and I get my card punched.
I used to have to get annual ones, even though I was younger than the necessary age. And now I haven't had one in a long time, so I don't know. I'm willing to have a post colonoscopy ritual. I just don't have one yet.
If only there was a sponsor that could get you one.
I could talk to our local place. I don't know,
dude. I don't know. Did anybody do the homework for the next question? Kelly F. asked, don't really watch Jimmy Kimmel, but curious about your reactions to the unnecessary censorship skit and then a YouTube link, but I haven't seen it.
I did do the homework halfway because I put it on and then halfway through I thought, I'm losing the will to live. So I closed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a similar reaction. I found it, I found it mildly amusing at the beginning, and then it went on too long, and I...
Yeah, I think...
I liked him years ago, and then realized that was not a good thing to do.
I don't think there's any really of the late-night talk show hosts that I like. I don't know if The Daily Show counts, because, I like... Oh, your man.
John Stewart?
I know. John Stewart, yes. I like John Stewart. And I liked, also can't remember his name. No, I'm thinking the Scottish guy.
Craig Ferguson.
I should tell you, was a stand-up comedian in Glasgow when I was at school under the name Bing Hitler.
Yeah, I've read his book, so I know this.
And I like him.
I did not know that.
For some reason, I think he changed.
Yeah, weird.
But all the late night talk show hosts are so kind of bland and mild and.
Here's I like old white man.
ZM Knox mentions Seth Meyers. I like Seth Meyers too. And who's the British guy? I can't think of. I mean, I'm blanking on his name. From the Daily, you know, he used to be.
Oh,
the Daily
well, show. Yes, that's what I was going to say. John Oliver, I think, is excellent.
Yeah,
John Oliver. Hang out with John Oliver,
but I don't count those as late night show hosts.
Yeah, he's not really. You're right. Exactly.
I'd have a meal with Seth Meyers. I'd have a beer with Jimmy Kimmel, but I don't want to hang out with Fallon at all.
No, I would not hang out with Fallon. I don't think I'd hang out with Jimmy Kimmel. I don't want to. I think I don't want to have my picture taken with him.
So
asked and answered.
There you go. CTD says, "What's your always on display? What's on your always on display when it's off? Full wallpaper. Oh my God, I don't know how to read anymore. What's on your always on display when it's off? Full wallpaper and widgets. Time and widgets. Just time or off like a heathen."
It's like, what is on your always on display when it's off? Like already the question is a contradiction.
Well, my phone is asleep now, and my always on display is showing the following: the date, the time, my next meeting.
Okay, I didn't even get
the current forecast and the likelihood of rain. So that's what's on my always on display.
Yeah. What is
on? I don't have one.
What is on my always on display right now is the day, the time, and about 13 notifications from Mastodon of people telling me about the bloody calculator.
Oh, you can say the F word. It's fine.
The fucking calculator.
There we go.
And yeah, so. Good old rant.
Let's see here. Moltz, you don't have an always on display.
I do not. Yeah. Yeah. So
Mr. E-Man says, in Michigan, we call people living in the Upper Peninsula, UP, Youpers. Youpers call people in the Lower Peninsula trolls because we're living under the Mackinac Bridge. Do you have regional names in your state? Republicans.
I believe it's Mackinac. Hey.
Well, A, I don't live in a state, and B,
but do you have?
I'm trying to think of any.
Let me ask. Yeah, gosh, do the Scottish have any names for the English?
There's a very
Yes,
I wonder.
There's a very local one, just from an old age development, like a development that's limited to people of a certain age and higher, and that development is called Covered Bridge. And so any slow driver you see, you call a covered bridger. So that's the closest I can get.
I can't think of anything here.
And it's pronounced Mackinac, as many people, including Moltz, corrected me. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah. I think while there are a wide variety of names for people up and around this country, I will refrain from saying any of them.
Let's see. ZM Knox wants to know, what was it like to see Dan in person, which I just did recently? I saw Dan now twice in the span of about a month, and that's fun. Seeing Dan all the time is fun. What was it like for Dan to see me in person? Dan's not here, so I'm going to say it was wonderful.
Dan told me it was, you know, average at best, but.
And then ZM Knox also wants to know, what do you imagine it's like to see Moltz?
You should hear the things Dan's baby said. Oh my God.
It's been so long since I saw Moltz in person. I think the last time
I
saw
Dan's wedding. I know. When was it? Like,
I mean, I've literally never seen Moltz in person.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So it wasn't, I was thinking it was even longer ago, but that's.
Yeah, is that right? That you guys have never met in person?
Nope.
Oh, it's a trip.
We have not.
Yeah, I mean, what should I expect?
To the colonoscopy doctor.
Yeah, but just wait till you see what I've written on my butt.
You guys should get together and do colonoscopies together. That would be amazing. Did you see the article somewhat recently about Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Tom Hanks preparing for colonoscopies together? I think they talked about it on Kimmel, maybe. This is not a joke.
Okay.
Yeah, you can Google this. They claimed that they do colonoscopy parties. He said this story to Jimmy Kimmel back in, oh, it was years ago, apparently, this came up. But I saw the story recently. But yeah, they get colonoscopy parties with Tom Hanks where they all do their prep together. And then they made jokes on the late night show about how you'd think that Steve could afford more than one bathroom, but no. But I think that part's a joke. I don't know. Anyway, that's what you guys should do. Speaking of getting ready for a colonoscopy together, ZM Knox wants to know if you're ready to let loose.
Man. that is not my favorite part. That's for sure.
No.
I love having a nap, and you know, it's like a nice half hour nap in the middle of the day. That's great. I love eating a turkey burger afterwards, but yeah.
Do you think there's anybody who their favorite part of a colonoscopy is the prep, John?
I bet there is. Come on.
What other? That's all the questions. You should become a Rebound Prime member.
Okay.
Go to prime.reboundcast.com and do that thing. Any other tech topics we got to cover before we bonus it up? Can we talk about Xcode for a minute?
Yes.
Wait, what?
Okay. Sure, yeah.
What problems do you want me to solve?
Talking about fine woven.
I don't know. It's just, I mean, obviously I'm a beginner, but man, oh man, oh man. When it's annoying, it's so annoying. When it works great, it's great, but man. Sometimes, James, Xcode is bad. Did you know this?
I am aware. I think I find App Store Connect more annoying than Xcode, just because there's so many things, as you have seen, just stop working or whatever. I'm going to Google the thing to stop it asking you about encryption, because...
Yeah, I think Casey also told me that there's something I can add to the plist that I just didn't know what I haven't looked it up yet.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I had an issue recently where it simply disallowed text entry. I just could not, I could not type into Xcode.
This is the AI feature kicking in early. It's just decided that
it slowed me down a little bit. I will admit.
I have to ask why the pivot into app development, that most gold mine of a category.
Well, this is the basic short version of the story, right? And this is 100% accurate. Well, one, I started having more creative pursuits when I stopped working for corporate America because it didn't suck away my will to live the same way. And I felt more creative at the end of the day. So I started writing more and podcasting more and whatever else. When the New York Times launched Connections Puzzles, I liked them. And I was playing them a lot. And I was like, man, how would you make one of these? And I thought about how you'd make one. And then I Googled, and there was a site where you could make them. And I made a couple, and people played them. And then I had a typo in one. I was like, oh, let me edit that typo. And I couldn't edit the typo because that website didn't allow you to edit them. And I was like, well, fuck this. I'm going to make my own website where I can have my own Connections Puzzles, because then I can edit them. And I did that. And then Dan Morin, may he rest in peace, was like, you should call them Collections, which I will never forgive Dan for, because I did, and I shouldn't have done it. But it's fine. And... So then I was like, well, if I have my own site where I can make Connections Puzzles, I can make one every day. And I started doing that. And I was like, hey, if I have people coming to my website to play a game every day, I can make a second game. And I made Lexicon, and I made a third game. And then eventually I made seven games. And then people complained that there were too many games. And as I have said before, just play the games you want to play.
People complained there were too many games.
Just play the games you want to play. You don't have to play them all.
Yeah, really.
And then Casey complained that I promoted them too much on Mastodon. He didn't like that, which I also get. It's tricky. But like, if you don't promote your thing, then people don't know about it. And so any given day, between 1,000 and 2,000 people play at least one of my games, which is crazy. But as soon as I started having people come to a website, there's only so much you can do on a website. I was like, you know, this should really be an app. And I will say this, I did not think that I was not convinced that I had the capability to make an app. I have never done anything in Xcode before. I've never built an official native app for any of Apple's platforms. You know, I think I talked about on this show not that long ago that I used True Basic many, many moons ago. But that wasn't making real native Apple apps. And this was my first time doing it, and it was hard. And then I got over the first major hurdles. I used, listener Ben McCarthy's recommendation, I used, Hacking with Swift. What's that guy's
name? Oh, yes. That, he has a name, which, will come to my mind.
I'm going to the about page right now.
Paul Hudson. Yes, of course. Paul Hudson. I remember that.
Thank
yes.
you, ZM Knox.
But so I
know Paul. I just can't remember any names today.
I got through about. Well, what's funny is his about page needs work because it says I've. Say your name, Paul. Say your name. But I got through roughly a third or close to half of 100 days. And I was doing, you know, more than one a day. But then I was like, this is no longer how I learn. And it was great. Like, I'm indebted to Paul, whose name I will now know. But at some point I was like, no, I have to just start building the app because that's how you, in my experience, really learn. I have to start just building it. So I just started building the app. And listeners, ZM Knox, who I added to the test flight 3 minutes ago, sent me bugs 2 minutes ago. So that's exciting.
Yeah, welcome to my life. I have also pasted into the Discord the ITS app users non-exempt encryption key documentation, which you just need to add, and then it will not complain at you.
Oh, sweet. Doing that. But yeah, that was it. Now, that was the motivation.
A bonus episode here.
I wanted to do it because I got into the app because I got into the puzzles, and so that's it.
Well, you know, the best way to actually learn how to do app development is to make something you want to use yourself. But I guess you don't use it yourself because you know what the answers are.
Well, no, it's so funny that you say that. Did you say we are in the bonus episode now, Moltz, or are we still transitioning?
We don't need to be. We can.
All right. Well, I'll tell the next story only on the bonus episode. So go subscribe. You filthy animals.
Hey, there we go.